from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Center.
All right, here we go. 5 o'clock headlines on Softy and Dick are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
I think that's the key for the game tonight for UW. Better execution on both sides of the ball against Colorado. Maybe more than that, but we'll start with that. Dogs are 0-7 in the Pac-12, looking to break an 8-game losing streak tonight against 11-3 Colorado. Tip-off coming in just about an hour from now. Pre-game 5:30 on KJR.
Friday's women's game between Washington and Oregon State at Gill Coliseum has been postponed due to COVID-related issues with the Huskies program. Huskies scheduled to return to action Sunday against Oregon if they get cleared.
NFL football news. After 17 years in the league, 63,000 yards, 421 touchdowns, which is good enough for number 5 in both categories all time. Philip Rivers retiring today from the NFL.
NBA, the return of Kyrie Irving after going AWOL, 17 points in 17 minutes thus far. 8 of 10 from the field. Cleveland leads Brooklyn 51-49.
And Patrick Mahomes limited in practice today. He is still in concussion protocol, not cleared yet officially to play for Kansas City on Sunday. Kevin Harlan joining us right now.
The Chiefs bench is delirious. The crowd with arms in the air.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio KJR.
Rolls out of the pocket.
We take a look inside the NFL with CBS Sports and Westwood One's Kevin Harlan. Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. The beautiful, brand new Emerald Queen Casino, located on I-5 in Tacoma, is now open. Come check it out today. Now with Kevin Harlan, here's Dave Softy Mahler.
Snap, here's a four-man rush and a line drive throw caught by Kelsey at the 10 on the hash mark, the 5, hurdles a defender, goes to the goal line, touchdown! Travis Kelsey has just caught a 20-yard touchdown pass, a catch and run by the all-pro tight end for the Chiefs, who extend their lead.
Hey, big thanks to the Emerald Queen Casino for sponsoring this shindig every Wednesday. Special time tonight, 5 o'clock, with the Husky basketball game tipping off at 6 p.m., but a guy who's going to be calling the NFC Championship for Westwood One. You'll hear that game right here on KJR on Sunday. Our friend, really our mentor, I think, to all, Kevin Harlan,
wow,
with us right now,
wow,
on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. How are you, my friend?
I have to say, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of pressure to put on anybody that joins you, mister. Hey, was it 6 years ago we had the NFC Championship game, Packers at Seahawks, right?
Correct.
6 or 7 years ago, 2014, or was it the 13th season?
No. Year? So it was, and I will tell you right now, because we played a bunch of your highlights on the radio show the other day, it was 6 years ago that we heard this call right here.
With a single back in the pistol formation, Wilson first and 10, tied in overtime at 22. Shotgun snap, winds up, long arching spiral, down the middle, it's an over-the-shoulder catch at the goal line, it's a touchdown, it's grabbed by Curse, Seattle has won!
And we could be here all day playing highlights from that game. I got the onside kick, I got the two-point conversion, I got Marshawn's touchdown. 6 years ago this week was that game, and 7 years ago this week was that great game against the Niners in the NFC Championship. So that's what we've been doing, because the Hawks are done.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What memories? What one of the most thrilling games I can ever recall calling was that Sunday, rainy Sunday in Seattle. You may recall the rain was falling pretty much throughout the game, dissipated. The sun came out, I think, in the second half, late in the game, and the Seahawks won it. It was what an incredible turn of events. A Packer lead that I just thought they played conservative, right? And the Seahawks took advantage of it. That's what they do when you got the right guys to pull it off, and they had the right guys to pull it off, and the rest is history.
Well, we can talk about that game all day, or we can focus on what we saw over the weekend and preview the weekend. You've got the NFC Championship, obviously. You'll hear it here on KJR. And let's go back to that Kansas City-Cleveland game for a second that you were calling as well on radio. And a lot of people are, making a stink about the touchback call, that it's a ridiculous rule, it's unfair to the offense, and it's time for that rule to go bye-bye. What's your take on that?
Agreed. It's enough, because had that been in the regular part of the field, you don't turn it over. I mean, if it's under his control and he fumbles it out of bounds, it is a, it's it stays the team's ball. They retain possession. I know this rule is going to go away. It's a bad rule. The kid had the touchdown. He did everything right. He just didn't carry the ball through. You know, the football move is clamping it to your chest, having control as you tumble and hit the ground.
Yeah.
But he was almost like a runner, and all a runner has to do, right, is get it over the pylon, hit the pylon, get it, a dimple of the ball on the goal line. So it is. It just doesn't seem fair. And I did not care how it turned out, who won, but it just seems like Cleveland had done everything right. The kid had made a terrific catch and a great dive to the pylon, and every box was checked except the last box is that when you land and you're out of bounds, you still got to have the ball, and he didn't control it through the catch.
Yeah. Well, when you say the rule is going to go away, I mean, you sounded pretty certain about that at some point this will be gone. Are you hearing chatter around the NFL? Is that kind of what the plan is, you think, to phase that thing out?
Well, I've heard nothing officially, but just the people that watch the game that are much smarter than me say it's got to go. And it just, you know, common sense tells you that that if that guy makes that kind of play, like a runner who can dive, a runner can leave at the 3 or 4 or 5 or however far he can fly in the air, keep his feet in, go over the pylon, and still, you know, get in. So a guy can fly out of bounds. He can take off at the 5 or wherever. And all he has to do is get that goal line, which goes around the world. It continues through the out-of-bounds area, through the stadium, parking lot, city, oceans, goes around the world, and they get a touchdown. But a guy like the Cleveland receiver, was it Higgins, I believe, who caught it and made a great catch, made the dive, angled there, ball hits the pylon, clearly had control of the ball. And then it fumbled out of the end zone. I just think that there's something, it's got to change, and I think it will change.
Yeah. Do you see any way, and I guess there is a way, certainly, if he's not ready to go, but the idea of Patrick Mahomes not being cleared to play in this game on Sunday, can you close
it?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes, yeah. yes, I do. I this is a nerve issue in addition to what, you know, is concussion protocol. So I think there's you know, he practiced today in Kansas City. They were going to add more to his plate. He's got to go through various steps throughout the week to get cleared. It was, you know, a pretty serious-looking injury. We saw that after he was hit and tried to get up and on rubber legs, he collapsed. So I think that you know, it may be a decision that isn't made until Saturday. They may have him active, but then not start him on Sunday. I mean, I think anything is possible here. We're dealing with nerve and concussion stuff. That's a very touchy, important part of health for these players. And if he can go, he'll go without re-injuring himself, hurting himself, making it worse. But if he can't, I guarantee you Andy Reid will not play him.
Well, if he doesn't play, does that mean the end for Kansas City? Can you close your eyes and envision Chad Henne starting that game and winning the AFC Championship for the Chiefs?
It would be hard to do that, I think. And, you know, you've got on the other side there in the Buffalo quarterback, Josh Allen. You know, he was in the MVP running, still is. I mean, we haven't announced it yet, but it's been voted on, and it looks like it's going to be Rodgers. Right. I think that Josh Allen should definitely be in the MVP conversation. And I think that Buffalo, in uncharted territory, with a feeling of invincibility, not a single ounce of pressure on them, will play a very loose and good game at Arrowhead. I really do. I think they'll play a terrific game. And if Mahomes isn't there, it'll embolden them more. So I'm guessing Mahomes is going to play. I don't know how good he's going to be, if he'll be like he was, or if he's good enough. But will good enough take on a Buffalo team that comes in without any pressure, highly motivated, playing at the very top of their game?
Yeah,
that's a game I pay to see.
Well, Kevin Harlan's with us. You'll be again on the call for the Packer game against Brady on Sunday. And it's funny because, and you can feel free to use this on your broadcast, by the way.
Hold on, let me get a pen and paper.
Write this down. Get your crayon and your little journal there. You don't even have to credit me on the air. If Aaron Rodgers,
believe me, I won't.
If Aaron Rodgers wins this game on Sunday, he will have the longest wait ever between Super Bowls by a starting quarterback, and that'll be 10 years. Your partner, Kurt Warner, I think waited 8 between the Ram Super Bowl that they lost and the one he went to with Arizona. I mean, how impressive would that be for you that Aaron Rodgers would basically win an NFC championship with different coaches, different players around him, in an almost totally different era of football than a decade ago?
I think, well, Rodgers, I think, is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He'll be this year's MVP, third time. We've only had, just a handful of three-time winners, yeah, including Favre. Favre won it 3 times. I think he shared it 1 year with someone, but he won it 3 times. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers has anything to prove, but that would be an incredible achievement as we look for more ways to heap accolades on one of the greatest quarterbacks the game has seen. Statistically, that is proven out again. And to do it, like you say, with a completely different roster and staff would be pretty remarkable. The question that Green Bay fans have, probably more succinctly, is we shouldn't be in this position anyway. We've had that, they're in the NFC Championship last year. They played in Seattle and had a big lead back in 2014. They've been in this position before, and they've not been able to close the deal. So this is probably a little overdue if they get in. And what about the wasted years of a Hall of Fame quarterback only making a second Super Bowl appearance should they win against the Buccaneers?
That question has been brought up regarding Russell Wilson. It's been 7 years since the Seahawks played in a conference championship game, and there are some folks out here that believe that maybe the Seahawks are wasting the prime years of Russell Wilson. What do you think?
I think it's a great comparison to Rodgers in Green Bay. Hard to do, and it's hard to do with 2 different rosters. And that's exactly what would happen if Russell and that team get to a Super Bowl here in the next couple of years. I think it'll be very comparable to what Rodgers and Green Bay have had to do. But, you can't be like Brady and go every year or Montana before him or Troy Aikman or these other quarterbacks that have gone in multiple years. Terry Bradshaw went, 4 and 5 years? They won 4 and 5 years. I just think that you begin to expect and don't realize, as the quarterbacks will tell you, how hard it is to do. The fact you've seen a quarterback do it, 9 times Brady has and he's won 6, or 10 times and he's won 6, whatever it is, that is, I don't know that that'll ever be done again. That stretch was just historic with a Hall of Fame coach and quarterback married for 20 years together. I mean, think of that, 20 years together. And they went to all those Super Bowls and won 6 of them. We may never see that again. Everything is going to be judged off of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how fair that is, really.
Yeah.
I think what is more common is what you mentioned with Warner, what Aaron Rodgers is looking at coming into Sunday, and what guys like Russell Wilson are looking at right now at this stage of his career. He's about midway through, probably entering the third quarter of his career, maybe a little bit later. And sure, there's got to be a sense of urgency to continue to build that roster around him so that he gets another chance to go.
Yeah, Elway waited a while. Obviously, Kurt Warner waited, yeah, but nobody has waited as long as Rodgers, if they win on Sunday, obviously, which is still a decent-sized diff. I mean, Vegas, I know you're not big on point spreads and all that stuff, but we had that conversation last week. Vegas says these, yep, will be 2 classic games over the weekend, and heck, I mean, the Chiefs haven't blown anybody out since they beat the Jets on the 1st of November, so every game the Chiefs play is a close one, but Kevin Harlan's with us, and speaking of Brady and the Buccaneers on Sunday, you kind of know Belichick a little bit, you know Brady. You think Bill Belichick privately is pulling for Tom Brady to win this game on Sunday, honestly?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Are you sure about
they,
that?
They will be linked forever. And Brady may have his flirtation with the Super Bowl this season and next, depending on how long he wants to play. But there's no doubt that there's great personal pride. There's no doubt that Belichick made Brady the quarterback that he was, and that Brady's quarterbacking made Belichick the coach that he is. I don't think that they'll ever be separated, and both would look at each other as a needed ingredient to be what they became.
Well, I think you're right about comparing everything to Brady. I think it's ridiculous. You almost have to throw him out and compare everybody to everybody else, because what Tom Brady has done will never be done again in the history of the NFL. Are you okay making like predictions for these games, or is that still like a no-no for you because you're in your
Mister? I can't for Green Bay and Tampa Bay, but I could look at Kansas City, and simply it's all Mahomes. If Mahomes plays, it's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know if he's going to play, number one, and if he does play, if he is completely healthy. Can he do the things that he does that makes him special? Because, number three, they go to Chad Henne, and it's a completely different call sheet. What Mahomes does is not what Henne does. Henne's, what, 35, 36, whatever? He's not the same quarterback. Now, listen, what he did last week was heroic, off the bench. That's exactly why you pay him what you pay him, why he's a backup in this league, why they were lucky to get him, they felt. And he did exactly what he needed to do. But to start a game, a championship game, with the Super Bowl on the line, that I don't know about. And then I think Buffalo comes in without a single ounce of pressure.
Yeah.
People didn't think him to get to the divisional round. They did. People didn't think they get to the AFC championship game. They have. And they've got a quarterback who is in the MVP conversation in Josh Allen. They're playing great on all facets. They're incredibly well coached. They come in with no pressure. And if a guy like Mahomes doesn't play, they're emboldened all the more. So this is a very interesting game, and the linchpin is Mahomes, to be quite honest.
Yeah. You think Andy Reid announces if he's playing or not? I mean, why would he, right? If he can wait until game time to make a decision on Patrick Mahomes, or at least make one publicly, why would he not wait until kickoff?
If Mahomes is like 50% or 60%, he'll make a game time decision. Maybe he goes with Henne. And knows if Chad would get hurt, he could go to Mahomes.
Yeah.
Mahomes could literally just get the ball out in 1 second.
No, I'm saying just keep it a secret until kickoff, no matter what.
Oh, I know. Yes. Oh, exactly. I get you. But he may not name the starter.
Right.
You know, or he may just say, you know, and he could change his mind. And he's going to have that leeway because of the nature of the injury. It's a nerve injury. It's a concussion. This is a whole different thing. It's not like a soft tissue injury or a bone or anything, or a tendon or anything like that. This is neurological. This is nerve system. This is a different kind of deal that he's having to work with here. And it's filled with a lot of unknown, different healing process, different timetable, different areas of comfort and discomfort, and ability to do some things and not do others.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have all the leeway in the world. Why would you tell anybody what you're going to do? You don't have to name him inactive until 90 minutes before the game.
Yep.
You can make him active and start the other guy. You can do all kinds of stuff. You didn't have to say a word.
No, I'm with you. Hey, before you go, I'm going to bring this up with Mike tomorrow, Holmgren. By the way, Kevin Stefanski will join us at 4:05 tomorrow, the head coach of the Browns with Mike. So
tune in for that. You get big names on here.
Yeah, it's all
Holy
me.
Smokes.
It's got nothing to do with Mike, you know, getting these guys on the air. It's all Softy calling the Browns PR staff. Oh, yeah, we'll do it for Softy. But
yeah, tell Coach I said I will.
I will. The Seahawks have not hired an OC yet. Look, there's no hurry, obviously, but there's some thought going around. I want to get a quick thought from this before you go, that maybe this job is not as attractive as we thought because Pete Carroll just wants to pound the football, run the ball, go back to his roots. Does that maybe make this offensive coordinator job in Seattle, in your mind, to at least some people, a little less attractive?
Well, it just kind of depends on the size of the ego and how badly a guy wants a job, I think, when you're a coordinator, you're well paid. But there are a lot of offensive coordinators that give the play calling duties to a head coach. And you just mentioned Kevin Stefanski. They got Alex Van Pelt as the OC in Cleveland, but Stefanski makes the calls, calls the plays. So there's a lot at play here. I'm sure that's a facet of it. Some coaches say, well, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. I've got my offense, and it's a passing offense. And if he wants to run the ball, 60% of the time, then that probably is not going to work, and I don't want to get in a situation where I'm arguing with the head coach. So, yeah, sure, it's a factor.
Kevin Harlan, listen, man, rest up. Get ready for the game on Sunday, 12:05 kickoff. Bucks-Packers from Lambeau will have that game, and the Bills and KC at 3:40 in the AFC Championship. Have fun this weekend. Enjoy the game, and then we'll talk next week about the matchup in Super Bowl 55. Great stuff, and appreciate this as always, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, great to be on with you, of course, Softy. And we'll talk next week, and we'll have a view of Super Bowl 55 right in our crosshairs, and that'll be fun to talk about for a couple of weeks leading up to the big game in Tampa.
Awesome. Kevin Harlan.
He's a bulldozer. He's a beast.
With us every Wednesday on 950 KJR. Let's get out of here. We got Husky basketball, UW Colorado pregame, Tony and Jason coming next right here on 950 KJR.